Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8. We're going to read verses 34 through 38 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Mark, chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. Mark 8, verses 34 through 38. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And let's finish on verse 38 together. Ready? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. Now, Holy Spirit of God, would you anoint these next few moments? Would you anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit saith? Lord, would you take this old sinful carcass of mine and would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me today? Would you allow the truth of your word to penetrate deep to the need of each and every individual, please? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Recently, I was reading in Mark 8 and in other parts of the gospel, and a truth, literally, and I don't mean this that it jumped off the page physically at me, but it was very obvious that the Lord was showing me something. And I'll be honest with you, it's a truth that helped me personally. This is one of those truths that I'm preaching to me today, and I'd like you to listen in on what I got. Not often do I necessarily preach to myself, but I listen to myself. Believe me, I don't always like what I hear either. But I really believe this will help you. It's not meant to correct you. It's meant to challenge you. This is not one of those sermons where I'm going to say, okay, you're wrong here and I'm right here and you listen, God said this. It's not one of those, but I believe if you will listen to this truth, you will see your life a little more clearly. You'll understand some of the heartache in your life a little better. I watch Christian people wander around with their lower lip pushed out. We call it the poochie lip. Oh, woe is me. I got this problem. Yeah, Brother Gus, you do it pretty well there. All right? I'm just a Christian. Man, those kind of Christians bother me. I'll be honest with you. And don't get mad at me. They've got a heartache. They've got a burden. They think life is just so hard, and they want everybody to know. They've got health issues. They've got financial issues. They've got children that are causing grief in their life. They've got problems at work. Their house is falling down. Their marriage is falling apart. The car's broke down. And they want everybody to know by the look on their face and their body posture, it's just so bad. This is a statement I hear them say. Well, I've got this problem. It's just my cross to bear. My tire went flat and I've got my cross to bear. I've got arthritis and it's just my cross to bear. Here's the truth I want you to see. I want you to look at Mark chapter 8 again in verse number 34, the last part of the verse. It says, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, watch this, and take up his cross and follow me. There's two very interesting words in that passage. They are the words, take up. Take up. It does not say a burden was thrust upon them. Jesus did not look at his disciples, Brother Gus, and say, I'm going to put a burden on you and you're going to have to endure it. He said, no, a cross is something you look at and on purpose pick it up. A burden comes on you and you have no control over it. A cross, you look at it and say, doesn't matter the consequences, I'm picking the thing up. Please don't get mad at me, but listen to this. A burden you have to endure. A cross you take up. You see, cancer is not a cross. It is a burden. You didn't look at cancer and say, I want cancer. I'm going to get it so I can say it's my cross. Oh, no, 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 no. Cancer is a burden that gets thrust upon you and you have no control over it. A cross is something you choose knowing there's could be negative consequences for picking it up. You say, what is a cross? Marriage. Oh, I mean, a cross is something that you look at and say, I will do right and I am going to pick that up whether there's negative consequences or not. A burden is thrown on you and you have no choice about the matter. You see, the death or sickness of a loved one is not your cross. Ladies, if you lost a baby, it is not a cross. I'm sorry to say. It is a burden, but it is not a cross. Those things are thrown upon you. Your car breaking down is not a cross. It's a burden. Or a Chevy. you see, you having grief at work or you having a problem with something is not your cross. A cross is something you look at and say, I will do what's right no matter the consequences. It may cause me negative. A burden and a cross are not the same thing. Now, let me say this. God says, bear one another's burdens. Did you know I can help you carry your burden, but I cannot help you carry your cross? I can't make you decide to carry a cross, but I can help you bear your burden. I can help you as the news last night came of someone that I love dearly. They've got just months to live with cancer. Oh, my heart broke. Oh, they've got their cross. No, 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 that's a burden. They didn't choose that. They have to bear it, though. They have to endure it. Let me show you what I mean. A cross is something that you will suffer for, but you picked it up willingly. You knew that you would suffer before you began the suffering. Let me bring it down to where we live. Lowther family, Brother Jerry's MS is bad, but it's not a cross. It's a burden. Brother Jerry didn't say, I want MS. I'm going to carry this burden. Oh, no. Now, his family helps him carry that burden. And that family carries a burden. But Brother Jerry's MS and his health issues are not a cross. Now, Brother Jerry, standing for right, standing for the King James Bible like he does in the face of opposition, knowing he sometimes is going to suffer for it, that's his cross. You see, let me bring it down. I'll be personal for just a second. I don't say much about this and I'm not looking for pity or sympathy. In 1976, January of 76, I was diagnosed with hip perthes. The socket where the ball of your femur fits into your pelvis. Mine, it's supposed to be round like a golf ball. Mine looks like a dog bone that has been chewed on and is not there. They put me in Altman Hospital. I spent 3 weeks in traction. And then they fitted me with what they call a Toronto brace. And I wore a 10-pound brace for the next 2 years that took all the weight from my left leg. I walked on about a 2-inch square piece of rubber that came off about 2 or 3 inches off the end of my leg, straight brace, and transferred all the weight across my pelvis to my other side. And that's how I walked for the next 2 years. I did not put that foot on the ground bearing weight for 2 full years. Well, my doctor said to my mom and dad and in my presence, someday when Craig gets older, he'll probably have arthritis in his hip. There's a chance he could have problems with his knee on the other side, or he could have back problems, or any combination of all these. I got all three. I'm above average, amen? If you're going to get it, might as well get the whole deal, amen? I've had knee surgery on the good side. There's no cartilage left in that leg. I have had 2 discs blown in my back. It's just part of it. And I have arthritis in my bad hip. Believe me, you older folks, I know what it's like. 4 years ago, I have no long, it was a few years ago. I went to a doctor. That's why I don't go very often, amen? But she had me get x-rays, and she looked at my hip. She said, Craig, and this is 3 or 4 years ago, she said, you have the hip of a 70-year-old. I said, well, thank you very much. How's the other one look? She said, it's normal. I said, got one, good one, amen? She said, between the two of them, I'm about average. Now, wait a minute. I understand when the cold fronts come through and the rain fronts. I know what it's like to feel like somebody's got a samurai sword stuck in your hip bone with each and every step. I know what it's like to where you can't sit down with it hurting, to get up it hurts, and to walk it hurts. I understand that. You say, what do? I just keep on going. I do. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. That is a burden. That is not my cross. That is a burden, not my cross. Your child, maybe your grown child, who has chosen to live their life contrary to the way you live. Maybe they're even living in sin. Can I tell you something? That's a heartache. That's a burden. But it's not your cross. It's not. The death of a loved one, though it hurts, the memory hurts. May have been a spouse, maybe a parent, maybe even your own child. Though those things hurt, those are not crosses. You didn't choose for that person to pass away. That was thrown upon you. See, a cross is something you choose, pick it up knowing that there is suffering that will come with it. Let me get very practical here. I'm going to give you 3 or 4 thoughts and show you what God says, and we'll go. Number one, Jesus said, to his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me. He said, those that are going to follow me. He has to deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow. Now watch this. To be a close follower of Christ, you must take up your cross. To be a close follower of Christ, you must take up your cross. My cross was not my hip disease. That was my burden. For 2 years, I wore a brace, and it did not fit under my clothing. It fit over my clothing. I had this contraption that went around my thigh and all the way through my groin area. 2 metal rods that went down. It did have a break in the middle that you could slide it, and it would bend when you sat down, but you had to make sure it was locked to walk. And then it went all the way down, special shoes on it, you know, those wonderful orthopedic-looking shoes, you know, the high-top black shoes, you know, they were real stylish, let me tell you. And on the bottom, about that far underneath, off of the heel of that thing, came a 2-inch square piece of rubber or so, My dad used a snow tire on it. He took an old tire and kept remounting that thing because I kept wearing them out. Amen. Now, wait a minute. For 2 years, I had people laugh at me, make fun of me. I went to sleep crying more than once for how people looked at me. You know, what's the matter with you? You're going to be some weirdo. You know, I already am some weirdo. What do you mean going to be? But I understand that. So, you had a cross to bear. That was not my cross to bear. Can I tell you what my cross to bear was as a young person? When I went to public school, my eighth grade year of school, my pastor challenged me in public school, take my Bible to school, and I picked up my cross every day and took it with me. When I decided I'd take my Bible and set it on my desk for every class, not just put it in my locker, I carried it with me to every classroom. I put it on top of my desk for everything except tests. I had people mock me. I had people spit at me. I had people spit in my Bible. But can I tell you something? I picked up a cross knowing the outcome. Guess what? That was my cross to bear. It wasn't the hip disease. It was standing for right in the face of opposition. By the way, you'll find out what kind of Christian you are. Take your Bible to school every day, public school kid. We'll find out how much you really believe. My ninth grade year, my mom and dad helped me get into a Christian school. Can I tell you something? I thought all my problems were over. I had to take a stand in the Christian school. I wasn't one of these casual, float-down-river, dead-stick Christians in a Christian school. By the way, mom and dad, just because they go to a Christian school doesn't mean it's right. Say, well, the school itself is, the school may be, but not everybody in it is, I'm sure. I've been a principal of too many Christian schools, trust me. They're full of sinners, just like you. That was a cross I decided to carry. That wasn't something that was thrown at me, it was a decision I made. Now, listen to me very carefully. My cross was not the two churches that I was in that changed as I worked in them. I worked my first church in California. I've never given you the name. Not going to. You say, why? Because I'm not going to gossip. Well, it changed. It may have changed, but I'll still protect it. I gave 2 years of my life, and I have scores of converts in that church. Why would I want to smear them? But it changed. My cross was standing for right. It wasn't the leaving of the church. When I went to that pastor I worked for in California, and I had been asked to go to another church in Canada as an assistant pastor, he said, well, Craig, let's just set your last day whether you accept this position or not. He said, what's your problem? Like he didn't know. And I said, well, you and I just view the Bible differently. He folded his arms. He said, Craig, I used to believe like you. I graduated from the same college you graduated from. He said, but one of these days you're going to wake up to the reality of life. Brother Hawkins, I took my Bible, I threw it across his desk at him. It landed about halfway off his desk. I stood to my feet. I went, that book didn't change, you did. Life does not change that book. That book changes life. That's where you and I differ. You say, you didn't do that, did you? I was 24 years old, pointed my finger in his face and said that very thing. I picked up a cross that day. I took a stand that day. By the way, doesn't bother me. God's been very good to my wife and I. Can I tell you something? Daniel, in the Bible, his cross was not the lion's den. His cross is when he refused to close his window to pray every day. Daniel's cross was not being thrown into a lion's den. His cross is when he refused to obey the king and not pray. Folks, I don't care what comes your way. You do what God says. Doesn't matter what the United States government says. This idiot mayor in Houston. God help us. A sodomite who is subpoenaed five different pastors for their sermons and wants to throw them in jail for anything said against sodomy. It's coming to America, folks. It's here. Now listen to me. The fiery furnace was not Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's cross to bear. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego picked up the cross when they refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar. That was the cross they chose to pick up that day. The fiery furnace was a result, but that was not their cross. When you're out in the store and somebody sees you and says, "Huh, you're going to Grace? What are you going there for?" That is not your cross to bear. That person's door you knock on that says no soliciting and they get upset with you, that is not your cross to bear. By the way, knocking on a door, giving somebody the gospel is not solicitation, just so you know. They can scream, holler, and get mad all they want. You still can knock on their door. "Well, I didn't go because it said no soliciting." You're not soliciting. Just keep going, amen? People with no soliciting signs get saved too, just so you know. Your choice for standing for right is your cross. Not because somebody made fun of you because of where you go to church. Everybody catch that? Folks, somebody being upset with you for where you go to church, do you know how long that's been happening? Good night. I was on staff for Brother Hiles. The great First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, back in those days. It was a soul-winning machine. There were thousands of people every week that went out soul-winning. There were 2,600 college students that had to go soul-winning. There was probably another 2,000 or 3,000 church members that went out soul-winning. Hammond is a city of about 80,000 people. Now, you understand something. I did for almost 10 years, almost all of my soul winning in Hammond. Brother Ed, Mrs. Hawkins, you know what I'm talking about. I have knocked on people's doors. They would come to the door with a stack of gospel tracts and say, "You're the 11th person today from that church to knock on my door. Yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yeah," and they would quote the plan of salvation to me and be lost. There were lost people that knew how to win people to Christ better than some saved people I know. You ought to try going soul winning someplace like that. You know, in Hammond, if you had a shirt and tie on, it was, "Oh no, the Baptists are coming," like you would with the Mormons or the Jehovah's False Witnesses. It's, "Oh no, the Baptists are here." I'm not kidding. It was not easy soul winning. But guess what? People got saved there. People got saved there. Huh. I want you to notice something. You have to deny yourself to pick up a cross. Jesus says, "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Can I tell you something? Before you pick that cross up, you're going to look at it and say, "Phew. Do I really want to do this? I'm going to enter this one lightly." Listen to this statement. Jesus picked up his cross at Calvary. The thieves on either side of him, it was thrown on them. Jesus chose Calvary. Those thieves did not choose Calvary. Jesus could have come down. They couldn't. Jesus had the ability to call all of heaven's forces to destroy those who were trying to kill him. And Jesus said, "Nope, I'm choosing this one. I have a price to pay for the people that my Father loves most and that I love most, and I want to restore all of mankind back to the Father. He picked it up willingly.
Yes, sir. Amen. That's good.
Jesus, listen to this statement, did not spill his blood. He shed his blood. Spilling is an accident. Shedding is on purpose. Now listen to me. You're going to have to deny yourself of some things if you're going to pick up a cross. Sometimes you have to part ways with friends, doctrinally. I love some people. I've loved men in the ministry who I still love, but I chose to stand for right as they made bad decisions and we no longer speak very often. I have men that used to teach me and train me who have changed. Guess what? I'm still going the same direction that they used to go. They changed. I didn't. Oh, they bad men? No, they just chose to not pick up the cross. They put it down. I picked it up and kept on going. I want you to know something else. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, and you don't need to turn there, but there's something else Jesus said that we should pick up. Mark chapter 2, verse 9 says, whether is it easier to say to the sick or palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power over the earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Can I tell you something? Jesus looked at a man who was sick of palsy and said, take up your bed. Take up your burden and keep on going. Christian, take up your burden and keep on going. Take up thy bed and begin walking. Jesus told this to a crippled man. Can I tell you something? I don't care how heavy the burden is, pick it up and keep on going. Oh, it's just such a heavy load to bear. This man could not walk. Jesus said, pick up your bed and start walking. Don't you think not being able to walk was a big cross to bear? Big burden to bear? There I go again. Can I tell you something? Don't roll over and play dead. Don't roll over and play dead. Take up your burden and keep on going. You may not be able to do everything you once did, but there's something you can do. Yeah, Brother Jerry, I keep that man busy. Every once in a while, I just give him something to do to drive him crazy and keep him going. I really do. Every once in a while, I stopped the other day and I asked him to work on a research project for me. Say why? There's something Brother Jerry can do. He might not be able to get up and walk around and do the things he wants to do, but there's still things he can do. Amen. Those of you in his Sunday school class, you know what I'm talking about. How many texts did you get from him this week? He stays on you. Boy, that's good stuff. Hey, senior citizens, I know you can't do everything you once did, but there's still some things you can do. You can be in your place as often as you can. Some of you do some cooking and helping, and some of you do some training. Some of you do the laundry and different things. Hey, there is something for you to do. Don't roll over and play dead. Hey, as long as you're still sucking air, do something. Do something. 2 Corinthians 1:4, still in the book, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort others by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Some of you old timers have been down the road far enough to help some of us younger folk along. Instead of complaining about the aches and pains, show us how to make it through the aches and pains. Thank God for Mrs. Brining back there. She's had her cross to bear in Brother Brining. I mean, she's been through it, 20-some surgeries. You know what? She had surgery. A couple days later, she's sitting in church. Had her nose all taped up. No, she didn't have a nose job. She had other issues. But I know a lot of folks that wouldn't come to church because, I couldn't sit through church looking like that. Thank God she didn't have that attitude. Good night. If we got to roll you in a chair, lay you down in a bed and put you back here just to get to church, then let's do it. Now, I'm not passing out beds to everybody because they want to lay down in church. We're not putting recliners in just to make you comfortable. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Quit using your burden as an excuse to do nothing for God. Jesus said, take up thy bed and walk. Can I tell you something? Pick up your burden to show the world how great God is. You know, the world still looks back at this guy that was crippled and got up and walked away. And everybody got mad at Jesus for healing him. He was showing the world how great. What if that guy would have never got up? What if that fellow would have never picked up his bed, Brother Mike? Why don't you quit telling the world how bad your burden is, and why don't you pick it up and start carrying it and show them how wonderful God is? Oh, woe is me. I got my burden. I got my heartache. Everybody look at it. Why don't you pick it up and start carrying it and say, look what God's doing. I'm probably going to make somebody mad. You're carrying your burden. That looks like a burden. It's a pumpkin. You're carrying your burden. And you sit there and say, oh, woe is me. Everybody look at my burden. Look how bad it is. Why don't you pick it up and keep on going and say, look how good God is that I can carry this thing. I can keep on going because I got God on my side, Brother Smith. It might hurt. It's ugly. But so am I. Shut up. It might not look good, but I can pick it up. God gave it to me. I chose it, and I can keep on going. I can take up my burden and keep on going. And the moment that it comes to where you stumble, come on up here, Brother Smith, God's going to send somebody your way to help you carry it. He won't take it away, but he'll send somebody your way to help carry it. You say, well, what if God didn't send somebody my way? You're supposed to take it on your own then. Take up your bed and walk. Now, if I can do this without smashing it, we'll be in good shape. Stay. All right. Oh, my. Can I tell you something? So many Christians walk around with their burden on their shoulder, and they sit there and say, oh, look at my burden. Come pat me on the head. Come rub me on the tummy. Come burp me and come feel sorry for me. Can I tell you something? God didn't give you that for people to come give you sympathy. God gave you that, and God's allowed that in your life so that you would get stronger to help other people with the same burden. Let me ask you a question. Those who do pick up their burden, do you realize they get more attention than those looking for attention? Jerry Lowther gets more attention because Jerry Lowther takes his burden and carries it. When you see Brother Lowther barely able to move, but he's here, guess what? Everybody says, wow, look what God's doing, because he's carrying his burden. That's better than him sitting there belly aching about how bad it is. You don't hear Jerry Lowther tell you how bad it is. He doesn't even tell his own family how bad it is. You got to learn to read between the lines. I've learned, Brother Lowther. There's days I pull rank. He'll tell you. I know how to get into his military mind. And I'd say, Brother Jerry, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. You understand? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Then when he starts answering me that way, I know I got back into that military brain of his. Jerry, life's a marathon, not a sprint. I plan on working you to death. Don't die on me now. I got too much work for you. Don't you push it too hard. I need you for the long haul, not just for today. Everybody doing all right? Say, what is that? I'm helping him carry the burden. But because he wants to carry it so much, by the way, that's how he gets attention. He doesn't do it for attention. He just carries the burden. You take Brother Lopez. There it is. I was looking for his shiny head. But Jimmy's was shining a little brighter than yours for the morning. You take Brother Lopez. You don't know the story of Joe Lopez like I do. Brother Joe and I have been through thousands of seizures, probably. Hundreds, I know. You don't know the epileptic seizures, Brother Lopez. We used to tease him. We were going to give him a football helmet to walk around in, because every time he'd have a seizure, he'd fall and bust his head open. I don't know how many times they carted you to the hospital, Brother Joe. He broke his collarbone. He fell back in a chair, broke his collarbone in a seizure because he kept going like this, and his chin broke his collarbone into pieces. Man, I've been with Brother Joe, and he'd hit the floor and just start going into a seizure. Everybody's panicking. It's okay. It's Brother Joe. Let me help him. We'd get him through it. I'd get him up. 10 minutes later, he's back on the floor again. There's times he's having 15, 20, 30, 40 seizures like that a day. 13 years, Brother Joe? Something like that. 12, 13 years, he's gone without a seizure. Amen. Whew. By the way, got his driver's license again for the first time just on Friday. Amen. Everybody stay off the roads. Brother Joe's got his license. He hadn't been able to drive in 22, 23 years. One of the most faithful men you'll ever meet, Joe Lopez. I've watched that man clean up more messes and do it with a great spirit than any human being should ever clean up. I've watched him clean up things that nobody should have to clean up. Never complain. Happy to do it, because that was his way of serving God. God allowed him to carry his burden. Look what God's doing. You take Leslie Rogers. Good night. She's got to put up with Mark. You talk about a cross to bear. She's got the whole forest. You take Brother Ron McFarlane. He's sick today. Lost his leg in a car accident. Did you ever see a guy with a better spirit? Good night. I got to beat him to death to keep him off stupid ladder. He's got 1.5 legs and he wants to climb a ladder. Get down off that stupid thing. Oh, I can get a Brother Bush. Not on my... Mm-mm. No way. Y'all, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Joyce? I'm not sure that he knows he's carrying a cross or he just doesn't have enough sense to know it, but good night. He does more with 1.5 legs than I know people with 2 legs. Yeah, Brother Hawkins and I had to pull him off a scaffolding one day. He's up on a scaffolding with 1 leg. I don't even know how he got up there, but he did. Can I tell you something? Don't roll over. Take up your bed. Take up your cross. Take up your bed. And lastly, I'm going to read a verse that may surprise you, but it is in the Bible. And I want you to hear it. I can quote it, but I'm not going to. But and you can turn there later. But Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14 says, "And shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up." Did I write the right verse down? Yes. "Cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." God says, take up your cross. God said, take up your bed. And then he said, take up the stumbling block out of the way. You say, what is a stumbling block? A stumbling block that is something in your path that as you're walking, you trip over. It's something you don't always see. Did you ever walk across the yard at night and not see something there and hit it? My dad and I were at the fire last night. When I was young, they were young too. But probably 40 years ago or so, my mom and dad, we had a camper trailer, and over near Alliance, we would set the thing up and every once in a while go out there and spend a few days or so out at the camp, and we'd sit there at night. like we did last night, except we had a metal fire ring. It really was an old tractor, what do you call it, tire. It was the rim. There you go. Those big words get me. We'd get that thing so hot that the rim would turn red and crack. But all the time, I mean, there was a lot of people out there. But there was times people would just kind of run through, usually kids, of course, us. And they would be running through at night. Well, most of us knew the lay of the land pretty well. My dad and my Uncle Gary. The two comedians. The guys that couldn't take anything serious. Do you know what it's like to be running at full tilt in the dark in a place like that, and all of a sudden somebody hollers out, "Watch that rope!" You know, you can't get her anchored in time. Say, was there a rope there? No, but man, you ought to see people falling. And then you're trying to get through there, you know? Good night. He's back there laughing right now. I'm sorry. There's nothing like watching three teenage guys running through to beat the bandwagon and hear my dad or my uncle, "Watch that rope!" And you know, they're falling down everywhere. I've watched guys just drop and roll. Man, that thing got me. There was nothing there. Say, what was that? A stumbling block. You wonder where I get it. Amen? My father corrupted me when I was a kid. We had a big pig, fellas, like we did for our men's activity the last 2 years. Except we would roast it over that fire on a spit. You know, that thing would turn around all day long. Some little kid walked up. My uncle was tending to the pig. He said, "Wow, is that a pig?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Watch this." My uncle took the big old fork and stuck in it and went, squealing like a pig. And that kid took off. He would not come near that thing. He wouldn't eat that thing. I don't think that kid's eaten pork in 40 years. Folks, that's a stumbling block. You don't know my Uncle Gary like I know my Uncle Gary. Can I tell you something? God said, "Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." Now listen to me. Some of you have some things in your life that's causing somebody else to stumble or causing yourself to stumble. God said, "Pick it up and get it out of the way." Do you know if you trip over the same spot all the time, you ought to do something about that spot? If I had a dip in my yard that caused me to stumble every time I stepped there, I'm going to fix it. Say, why? Because I don't want to keep stumbling. If you have something in your life that causes you to stumble in your Christian life, why don't you pick it up and get it out of the way? Every time I do this, this happens. Well, quit doing that. I just have a hard time with lying. You know, I have the solution for lying. Boys and girls, do you know how you never, ever have to lie again? Tell the truth. I know that was deep. But do you know if you will just tell the truth, you never have to lie again? By the way, that means tell yourself the truth. Say, "Well, that's just hard." Oh, we wouldn't want you to do something hard now, would we? By the way, some of you adults, it'd do you good to tell the truth. Some of you need to tell your boss the truth. Not what you want them to hear. "Well, I just have a hard time with the music that I listen to." Then don't listen to it. Listen to the right stuff. Some of you, your music is your stumbling block. Some of you go places to listen to the music that your mom and dad won't let you listen to inside your house. I'm going to say something here. Parents, if you let your kids listen to anything with earphones or earbuds or whatever you call those things, you're an idiot. Excuse me, you're not intelligent. Excuse me, it's not real smart. "Well, I can trust my kids." God help you. You know, can I tell you how you don't listen to or you don't talk critically? Don't listen to it. Brother Smith, you and I have spent a lot of time together. Do you know that Brother Smith doesn't criticize people in my presence? And I don't criticize people in his presence. And you know, if Brother Smith started even, and he doesn't, but if he started even leaning critically, do you know what I do? I say, Brother Smith, how's your wife doing? Oh, she's doing good, preacher, but how's Joelle doing? How's her foot from when she got stung by a bee? I start changing the subject. If he keeps pressing me, I'm going to say, now, Doc, hang on. I don't want to go down that road. We're not going to talk like that. Let's just change the subject. If he keeps pushing me, say, oh, that would be rude. No, rudeness is listen to it. Now, Brother Smith does not do that, just so you know. But can I tell you something? Somebody in this room, you struggle with a critical tongue because you listen to criticism all the time. Do you know I don't even listen to my critics criticize me? Do you know I'm not going to criticize my critics? If I step down to attack people that are attacking me, I'm lower than they are. I am doing what they do. I'm going to step above that. I'm going to be kind of like Job. Just mock on. I'm going forward. Mock on. I'm going forward. Well, I know somebody that said, don't tell me. I don't want to hear about it. I don't. One of the reasons I don't talk to people before I preach, because somebody might say something that's negative that I don't want to hear and it'll affect me. I just don't do it. Now, after church, I can handle it. But before I preach, don't do that to me. Brother Hiles used to have a fellow that would meet him before he'd come out to preach in the alley and he'd say, preacher, I don't care what they say, I'm for you. He'd walk a few steps. What are they saying? What battle's going on I don't know about. It used to affect him very negatively. He finally one day stopped and said, don't you stand here and tell me that anymore. You're bothering my spirit so that I don't help my people like I need to help. Boy, I appreciate that. Say, well, preacher, I know of a battle. Well, don't tell me right before I preach. Tell me later. Everybody doing all right? Can I tell you something? Somebody in this room, you're letting your past affect you. Some of you are so bent out of shape living at the past and living over spilt milk in the past, you can't go on in the future. Okay, ladies, you burnt the bread yesterday. That doesn't mean that it has to affect today. Yeah, it is. We don't have bread. Pick up a loaf of bread, throw it on the table. He doesn't give a rip anyway. So all he wants to do is fill his gut. He doesn't care what it looks like or what it tastes like. Just get it down the hatch. Some of you are so bent out of shape because somebody you used to know and you used to love, now they don't like you anymore. They don't like something you stand for anymore, and you're bent out of shape. One reason I don't have Facebook, I don't care what somebody 30 years ago thought about me now. Well, what about those people you went to high school with? Wouldn't you like to reconnect? If I haven't talked to them in 30 years, what do we have in common now that I need to talk to? Pray tell me. Good night. What about one of those kids in the neighborhood that grew up? And wouldn't you like to know? No, I don't care. If I haven't rubbed shoulders with them in 30, 35, 40 years, what do I need to care about it now for? Some of you, Facebook and social media is destroying your life because you're living in a past, not in a present. Did you catch that? Boy, that's good stuff. Those of you who trip over your own feet or somebody else's stumbling block need to quit crying and get up and quit walking down that path. Well, seems like every time I go to this place, I have a problem. Don't go there. You know, some of you may have struggled with alcohol in your past. And it bothers you to go anywhere where they serve it in a restaurant. Okay, don't go to those restaurants. Be careful where you go to the gas station. I'm serious. I understand it. Now, I'll be honest with you. Alcohol has no draw on me. I've seen what it does. You could put all the alcohol in the world in front of me. Say, what would you do? Pull out the guns and start busting bottles, amen? Say, why? Because it has no draw on me whatsoever. But for some of you, it's a draw. Then don't go to places where they sell it. If it's that bad of a draw, some of you smoking cigarettes. Now, I'll be honest with you. The smell of those things makes me sick. Man, there is, I don't understand why you want to go out in the yard, pick up dead weeds, let them dry out, put them in paper, roll them up, and light it on fire and suck it in. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? I don't understand it. But for some of you, so going where people smoke is a temptation to you. Don't go where they smoke. It's real simple. Some of you, you have friends that are negative and gossipy and critical. Then why do you answer their calls? Why do you go to their house? I have friends I have separated from because they've changed directions and we don't have anything in common to talk about anymore. Well, don't you miss them? Yes, I miss them, but not enough to listen to their poison. I'm going to make a statement here. Those of you that keep tripping over the same stumbling block, quit blaming everybody else that's there. Quit blaming everybody else. You're the one that walked that path. Quit crying over stumbling. Get up. Decide to be more careful. Don't run away from it. Keep on going and quit going down that same spot where you're going to fall down. By the way, some of us need to clean up our act so we quit tripping everybody else up. Some of you, it would do you good to clean something up out of your life that's causing somebody else to stumble. By the way, some of you Pharisees, you don't need to point it out to them what it is. Let God do that. We all have burdens. But those burdens are not your cross. Those burdens need endured. God said, take up your cross. He said, take up your burden, take up your bed. Then he said, take up the stumbling block. You know, I've been hunting a lot. I know how to get to my stands. Do you know that I go through in advance of hunting and clean out all the brush out of the way and if there's rocks in the way? You say, why? Because usually it's dark when I go. There's nothing like walking through the woods when it's dark and busting your foot in a hole. I'll tell you another experience that's real fun. You walk through the woods and all of a sudden this spider web goes right through your face. And then you feel this across your face. And you're thinking, that was a big spider. It's real bad when you got a bow in your hand and you know you got razor sharp arrows stuck in there and you don't want to with a razor, you know? So you're, man, that was gross. And you're waiting for daylight to find out if it's still on you somewhere. Man, you know what I'm talking about. And every time you feel something move, it's like, is that spider? Man, I've been there. You know what? You go through and clean those things out as much as you can before you get there. Huh. Take up that cross. Quit belly aching. Take up your burden. Take up your bed. And why don't you pick up the stumbling block while you're there? Get it out of the way so you and somebody else doesn't keep tripping over it. Jesus said, if you want to be close to me, that's what you're going to have to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, maybe you've thought your burden was your cross. It's not. Maybe some of you are complaining about the burden you have. Okay, it's time to pick it up. As you pick up your cross, pick up your burden, and while you're doing it, since you're bent over picking them up, just pick up that stumbling block out of the way. Who'd say, preacher, something in that sermon today is what I needed. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Scores and scores of hands. God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Maybe you've been saved. You've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, and God wants you to join our church. We'd love to have you. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and decide you're going to do some things in your life.